Have you ever dreamed of creating your own video game, but you didn't know where to start? Take a step from dream to reality with online courses provided to you free of cost by the National Transformation Initiative and Coursera. In the course called Character Design for Video Games, you will learn the basics of video game character design and take master classes from video game professionals who have worked with the likes of Disney, Gravity Falls, and SpongeBob SquarePants. Sign up at training.nti.org.bb and search for the course called Character Design for Video Games. It's free for you, all online, and you progress at your own pace. This course takes only 9 hours in all to complete. And when you're done, you can move on to the other video game design courses, all at training.nti.org.bb, because you're never too good to get better.
Manners and respect, manners and respect. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan, and welcome to the greatest radio station on earth, rather to the greatest network on earth, the nation's number one, VOB 92.9 FM. Excuse me for the noise, you know, I'm a bit hard ears, but it's been a pleasure. First, I want to salute Bass to the World. It was a wonderful production in town over there by Gordon Square, and running that such a lovely facility, you know, for an open air event. The ambience, atmosphere, you won't believe that it's Bridgestone. It just shows you that Bridgestone is so full of potential. As
so much talent in that final lineup too, and it's interesting, like, woo, other finals in other competitions, you will get surprises. Expectations met in some regard and expectations not quite met,
yeah,
in other instances, but the talent is there. So congratulations to Tariq,
yeah,
and to all those who made the finals. Remember, that is an event, your career and opportunity to be a part of the industry and the Bajan entertainment movement does not stop as a result of that. It just gives you more opportunity, more experience, and we're looking forward to great work from all who participated.
Oh yes, and salute Shantae, second place, 14 years old. That child is absolutely brilliant. Amazing. Just 14 years old, student of the Combermere School.
And she came up through Teen Talent and Junior Monarch.
Yes, she did. She came through Teen Talent. She's still very active in Teen Talent as well, and Junior Monarch. And BHD World, just amazing that 14 years of running the amount of competitions and showcases she's involved in, and continues to do well in all. But what I love about her, at her young age, she don't give up. She don't stop coming, but you don't care if she win or not, she don't stop coming. So must look to her, just 14 years old. And third place, Diane Jammon, who's a veteran in the game, you know, she's been singing great for years. And got to salute all the other contestants that did really well. But this is Tariq's moment. Tariq came through Teen Talent as well, Parish Ambassador as well. Saw Tariq singing Teen Talent for a number of years. Saw him try and never giving up. So it is time, though, I like the old people would say, perseverance seldom fail.
And we're coming at this time today because we have Karifta Swimming Finals from 6 p.m. So let me just make that clear. You're not late. You haven't missed 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock hasn't come yet, all right? So with the facilitation of the swimming championships on Voice of Barbados at 6 o'clock, that's why you're hearing the Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme at this time.
Oh yes. So everyone, thanks for tuning in this evening. I have some absolutely lovely guests here with us that I must salute. We're gonna start with the seniors first. I must salute Miss Shari Pollard, who of course is a dancer and choreographer and, you know, a talent agent. And you know, oftentimes we don't salute the women in our art form, women in our culture, like I personally think we should. I'm always amazed at how much work the ladies and the women put in, and sometimes to, you know, like, to no credit, and I'm sure they don't do it for credit, but we are all human beings. So I'm sure it would be absolutely awesome sometimes, Ronnie, to hear good job. Like, every human being won't mind hearing that once in a way. Not that you work for it, not that you look forward to it. Not that that's what you live for. Not that that is the reason why you do what you do. But it'd be good to sometimes to hear a good job. And I must say, there's a number of years at her still very young age. There's a number of years I've been knowing Miss Shari Pollard and being so great at what she does. So I just want to tell her I absolutely admire the work she'd be doing over all these years and look forward to Barbados getting to know her much better, and want to welcome you to Beijing Rhythm and Running, Miss Shari Pollard. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, sir, and thank you very much for that introduction. I'm quite overwhelmed by that accolade, even though you called me a senior and I still consider myself a junior.
No, not senior in age. But then again, mm-hmm. you are absolutely humble. So I don't fault you for saying you're not a senior, but just know that you're no junior in this game, not even at least. But it's not for you to say, it's for me to say. So salute you though, and I love that you're still humble. How are you? How is everything going with you?
I'm doing well. Thankful for the rest from Beige to the World, because the competition has definitely been an intense process. But I'm doing well. I'm looking to see how the crop over season starts to pick up. But I'm doing well.
Well, yes, from work to work, crop over season right around the corner. So you can be very busy. We can talk about all that for sure. And of course, I know you would join me in welcoming these two extremely talented young people, this dynamic dance duo. I always try to salute dance. You know, I find that nowadays we push dance in the background. But I want you all to know that time's going by, dance is what propelled everything. Matter of fact, Ronnie, I hope you would say we're going to a fat or a party. You know, my father used to say he's going to a dance. And he just me, he going to some very somebody playing oldie goldies in the shop.
It's right. It could be the Liberty out there.
Liberty being near Eagle Hall. Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. Or it could be placed in St. George. Used to call it a dance when it ain't when we old man and night. It's in St. George, and this is like a normal bar, a normal shop.
I remember they had a couples bar and restaurant up there. Went to a wedding reception there one time as well.
Yeah, nice. So it means, and they used to say, man, they're going to a dance. But if I know that dance is so much in the background, but dance was such a big part of our culture. And I'm glad to have these two young people, because for me, a lot of my people that I know that I come to love because of dancers. I fell in love with Edwin Yearwood's music and his passion and his vibe and Edwin's look because of the Grass Skirt Crew. That was the first thing, because it looked like a bunch of, excuse my terms, ghetto youths.
Wild boys.
Yes. Like me. Because it was one, he looked just like me, but on stage with the king walking up, stink. I mean, like, that used to, like, catch me, like, whoa, boy. And Edwin used to go, like, in the PLA, which is Caroney Village. And my aunt
lives. Of course it is, right there.
Yeah, my aunt lives in Caroney Village, Charlton Road, all the time. The same gap as Mole. So all coming up, we go to these fest. CrossFit used to perform in the PLA a lot. So it used to be a lot of, quote-unquote, people from the communities.
Cranston Brown used to run the PLA.
Yeah, Christ, the great Cranston Brown. So, like, I fell in love with the band CrossFire and Edwin because of dancers, Ronnie, you understand?
Timmy was one.
Yes. Mike.
And Mikey too.
Mikey Kinlater, you are absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Matter of fact, I got a number of dancers who's even danced. No, I saw some on Beach of the World stage. Mm-hmm. Dancing, professional dancers who I used to see with Mikey and the rest of the girls in Grass Skirt Crew too.
Talent and gifts.
Yeah, talent galore. And if you know the story, you know that the Grass Skirt Crew also had a lot of hits. After dancing for Erin for a number of years, came out years later and had hits themselves.
Timmy, People's Monarch. Mikey, 3 times a People's Monarch.
Yes.
Road Marches.
Yeah, correct.
Circle Monarch titles.
You understand, and that stem from dancers. And matter of fact, I knew Mikey before he sang. He had a crew named the KIN crew from Queens College. These were a bunch of school boys. He used to go all over the place just walking up stink. About 3 or 4 in Narada, I think it was the name of one. Mikey was the name of one. I had a white guy. Excuse matter of fact, I think it was White Wine.
Jonathan?
Yeah. Wait, Shari, yeah, I mean to bring is the same fella that used to be with Mikey in the KAK, the same Jonathan White one?
Yeah, Jonathan.
That's crazy. Even strengthened my point how important dance is.
Well, he's a Manchester United fan like you, you know.
Ronnie, don't
he's most probably cussing me on Facebook right now, but I'm locked out of Facebook for the past 10 days. I can't get back in. Not that I was in jail or anything, but they got this new thing, and every time I send them my contact, I don't get it. So it's not a conspiracy, but if you don't see me or hear me on Facebook for the last 2 weeks, I just can't get back in there. Can't be bothered.
It's not like Ronnie. I'm here basking in the glory. So I just said, dance was such an important thing, and what these two young people did, in my opinion, over these couple of months, because not even weeks, because this thing started a long time ago, and I will let Shari tell you all exactly when it started, or the two youngsters themselves. But even when they heard people speak on the competition, they will always say a singing competition. Even a lot of the clips won't make it to TV, but being there, I will hear judges telling the singers, you got to do this better, you got to do that better, it's a singing competition, you got to bring it better. I've heard that comment a lot. And all the time I was there, like, but we got two dancers in the competition. Two young people, how these two young persons managed to save through these comments in a competition where, you know, singers are going to be favored. We can't help it. Singers naturally be the stars. How these two young people managed to overcome that and keep coming every week, having to produce. Listen to this, Barbados. These two young persons in this competition had to produce an original dance every single week. Mm. Well, the singers, well, me, and I'm a vocalist, I'm qualified at that. But well, they know I have the luxury, Shari. I could come and Ronnie write a song regular than the big hit for years, and they come back here and just repeat it. Lord, come to my life. Come to my funeral. I ain't do nothing amazing. I just sing over what Ronnie already do. But because it's singing and the voice, especially if it's sung a certain way, people can fall in love with it. It is not as hard as. But having to create an original dance every week in a competition to meet a deadline and overcoming that, I think that these two young people did a phenomenal job. No matter what the placing said, and I'm sure they are all extremely happy. They are happy for their fellow contestants and all the family now. But I just thought it fitting, Ronnie, that I come and salute them today for doing that each week, bro. Producing original dance every week and entering the competition and keep coming, making it all the way to the finals and having to put on a show where you're already hearing names in the public and all singers who are already being favored and deservingly so might be because they are absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But dancing in a competition like that have to be one of the hardest things ever, and they made it look so easy. So Barbados, I'm taking my time with this introduction because I don't want you to think you all think only singers are stars and heroes, and I'm one that's saying that. I want you to know there's various persons that make up our sector, the entertainment sector, and our cultural landscape, and they're all important. And these two young persons are absolutely incredible. So I want you to welcome for the first time, but certainly not the last time, to Beige and Rhythm and Rhyme, two young persons, the dynamic dance duo, Damon and Asha. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Great job. Great, great job. Good evening.
Hi,
to you.
Good evening.
Manners and respect.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes.
Manners and respect. Like, thank you so very much.
No, you deserve it. You deserve it. It was when first thing first, I jumping right in. When did the competition start for you and Asha? I want the first date. I want Barbara to get a picture of how early this was.
To remember the exact date.
Not the exact date. We ain't Ronnie Clark. Only Ronnie's get that do. Only Ronnie's get that do. Ronnie remember every date, just the month. November, October.
Yeah.
December.
Yeah.
December and it finished last week.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's crazy. So how when you initially went in, obviously it's a talent competition, mm-hmm. so it's for everybody, not just the singers. But when you first went in the competition and saw so many singers doing so well, but you were dancing, I had to dance against that. I want the ladies first, I want Damon first. I want Asha first. Sorry. I want Asha first. I was gonna say Damon, we're gonna allow the ladies to answer first. Right, but okay, then they're saying it's it because that is obvious. We are gentlemen. Right. So I want Asha first, and then it wants Shari, because Shari's a mentor as well. So it had to be equally or even more taxing for her. I want Asha first and then Shari, with an honest opinion. When you saw the singers and everyone doing so well, and you know that you had to bring dance and original dance too each week to compete with that, what was your first initial thought?
Well, I knew originally that it was going to be predominantly singers.
You anticipated that?
Based on what we kind of saw last year, because in the final last year, it was only like one instrumentalist, if I'm not mistaken, and it was mainly singers. So I think we already kind of knew, when you kind of hear talent shows, when it comes to Barbados, you mainly see singers. Dancers, I wouldn't say dancers come out as often, like you might get one or two. I think the challenge for me was, you know, not really knowing what we had to do before we got into the competition, and then kind of hearing stuff as we went along. So it was like we had to do all of these different challenges and stuff. And I know from being in the competition, I know like for some of the singers, they were like, oh, well, you know, you can do this song over a reggae beat and it will still be reggae. But I know like for us, it's like we can't dance, like we can't, like, let's say we can't do ballet over dance hall and call that dance hall. Like that's not how it's gonna work for us. So we had to make sure that we knew the dance styles, we had to make sure that we knew the vocabulary. even though there were different styles and what's not, like we had to know exactly the foundation, so to speak, of the kinds of dances that we were attempting, because as I said, we can't get up there and do ballet to dance all. So we had to like do a lot of YouTube videos, and doing different genres every week was kind of hard. I think me and Damon just kind of know how to make stuff work from doing different genres, but it really was not easy, because some of the genres that we had to do, there's no dance form for the genres. Like R&B is not a dance form. R&B is a singing genre. So yeah, we just kind of had to put moves together and call that R&B.
That was kind of difficult. Whoa. like, all right, Ronnie. And all right, you are not the vocalist nor the singer, Clitsonian. You are a musician. You're on stage judging this competition, is a talent show, right? And you're judging dancers come every week, and they have, like, because what you just said, me, I was even focusing on that, like every week with a different genre, which means you had to bring a different dance for the different genre, and not just bring a different dance or style, it had to be saying that you create as well, so it can be original. So How do you judge that objectively versus a singer that singing a cover or whatever? What are the different things you will look for? Because everyone that judged wasn't qualified in dance. So you know, it's just looking at the two talents at a talent contest. What would be some of the things you would look for that would help you to separate them in your mind?
Well,
because the competition still.
Thankfully, my older brother Joe is a first class dancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First class. Street, jazz, breaking, popping, locking. And he taught Rupert and myself, coming up in the 80s, how to dance. Right? You don't see me do much of that now, but that's my background with him. He went on to do tap. He's still alive, still in Germany. And he teaches a lot of the kids in the community with his over 40 years of specifically black urban street dance, right? So I've seen that. I've got cousins, Andy and Dave. We're in a crew together. Seen some of the best dancers in Barbados, Raheem, Abraham, syndicate dancers from before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, for me to... think about it, it's not as difficult as it might be for someone who's A, never danced that type of dance before, is not involved in hip hop or R&B or in pop.
Or never exposed to it.
Calypso, to see the varied forms of expression, the body posture, poses, you know, release and energy from at certain points in the song when you're interpreting the song. Words versus lines, and then those lines in a verse, how you capture the overall transition from that first word right through to the verse, and your body's making sense with the music, your facial expressions, there's a lot of drama in it, and also those things are unique to dancers.
But this sounds like a lot.
But it is, and you know, when I was watching football, when I was watching football today, Jurgen Klopp has a habit of taking his eyes off the Liverpool team training in the warm-up and looking at the opposition. He stands there and he watches them. He doesn't watch for long. And I said, being as brilliant as he is, he doesn't need 15 seconds to see what I might need to see. He can see in 2 seconds.
What you might take.
And he won't need to explain it to me because I wouldn't understand it in such a short space of time. It's the same thing with brilliant dancers, artists. For example, the late great Carl Brudhagen was my art teacher at Convermere School.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he had the choice, I wouldn't have been in his class because, you know, if he was full of himself, he'd say, well, I'm Carl Brudhagen. But he's such a fantastic man. He would work with your limitations, and his goal was to move you forward. Some he would move forward to all A profiles and maybe a career in art. But for someone like me, he would just take his pencil, and in 30 seconds, it just transformed what I did. And said, well, you know, this is how it could look, as opposed to, well, this is me and I'm doing it that way. But because he's an expert. Same with the best dance teachers and best dancers that we have here. They just see things
differently
quickly because that's their gift and their talent.
Yeah.
The people that go to a crowd, for example, you go to Piccadilly Crop, you would have Bag with a song like Something's Happening from 2009. He's dressed in his tropical shirt. I think it was a pair of white shorts, and he's got a camera, looking like the average, let's say, American tourist.
Yeah.
Black American tourist, right? And when he comes to perform, and many of the Calypsonians that don't move as flashy or energetic as the dancers themselves and can't join in a particular part of the routine, can't spin or jump or do something like Hee-Haw can.
Yeah.
Hee-Haw can do that because he obviously has a talent for that. They stand up in the middle at the front of the stage, and all of the dancing happens behind them.
Yes.
And all the brilliant dancing which happens and enhances the performance and takes it to champion winning along with a great song and an effective rendition. You know, whether you see Gabby, you see Bag, they just got stuff happening because they're working with all the top tier dance outfits and troops, right? Their job is not to get in the way because what's happening behind there is technique, it's precision, it's expertise, and it's made to look easy. The same way you think you can sing a Stevie Wonder song or a Celine Dion song with a moderate amount of talent. You can do your impression of it, but you're just not going to get there.
Nah.
That's reality.
Nah,
same thing with dancing. You say, shh, they make that look easy though. But you know, on a finals night with what used to be 20 performances, and now, It could be, you know, 20, let's say 20 performances, and now it's 18 performances. Many of the dancers are dancing for more than one song, right? I'm not sure if they dance for members of different tents because there's like a group mentality. The dancers are part of the team, and you can't be part of the team and dancing for four different opponents on the same night. So you can see that unity, and that also manifests itself in the dance because there's a purpose. It's not just going up there to look good and wear fancy costumes and bring some vibrancy to the song. There's a reason why a dancer does a certain action at a certain point in the song. Even if nothing is being sung by the singer, but the arrangement allows for a specific type of expression from the dancer. So when you see, let's look at TC doing Stay Calypso or Victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of those real defiant songs, Victory. Stay Calypso, I think it was John King that wrote that. I could be wrong. But when you hear Victory, it's got that, you know, it's got that shango and it's got all that Afrocentric stuff. Mm-hmm. They're not coming out there in a suit and tie. They're bringing something which creates an atmosphere. And that's what you have to look for in dance. It's not the same thing as ballroom dancing, which is precision in itself. You know, this is different. And even when not performing with, for the most part in Barbados, a calypsonian or a soca artist, you know, when you see pieces presented publicly in Barbados, you know, it's fantastic. So yeah.
Extremely, and for me, bro, like, whoa, that is quite a lot. And Shari, that is quite a lot. You as a mentor, and these different forms of expression Ronnie speak of, and all these other things that a dancer have to keep in mind. How do you go about preparing a young group, a young dance during a competition like this, where you know that these youngsters have to be mindful of all these things, yet still mindful is a competition? How do you create the balance, and how do you go about preparing young people for something like that, for a task like that?
Well, first of all, I think preparing dancers for a competition versus a regular performance, you have to kind of have two different mentalities when you're going forward. I think the key for this competition was to get Asha and Damon to understand the parameters in which they're competing, and then try to create stuff strategically, as opposed to whatever our normal procedure would be in terms of our creativity. We then have to take that and flip it on its head, because especially I'll deal even more specifically with the challenge rungs.
Yeah.
Those rungs, even though they were shown across 6 weeks of TV time, they're actually shot in 3 weeks, meaning that two nights were shot on one day, which meant that those dancers were challenged to actually create two entire choreographies in the space of 1 week. And each of those choreographies were in two different genres. So the type of stress they were put under, and this is not just the mental aspects of preparing for competition stuff, but it's also very physically taxing on the body to be able to push through learning two routines. It's hard enough to learn one routine in a week, but learning two routines in a week, and it requires you to do hours upon hours of rehearsal. A lot of their rehearsals ended 2-3 o'clock in the morning almost every night. And I had, in this competition, there was only one dance group, so I also mentored singers. And obviously when I go into the singers, I have in 2 days of 1 hour or half hour rehearsals with a band for them to prepare, versus having to do 5 and 6 hours a night with a dancer.
It was that different.
It was that drastic. 5 or 6 hours a day versus our 4 hours a day or 3 hours a day versus doing that. In terms of the structure of the competition as well, and I must give some credit to Terencia, the person who came up with the mentorship program for this competition, and also the person who led and spearheaded trying to make sure that the competition itself was a little more balanced and a little more fair, because it definitely was very skewed to the singing aspect of the competition.
Yeah.
And it was really important recognizing that we had two very talented dancers to try to make sure that, from adjusting the judges' sheets right down to making sure there was more inclusivity of actual dancers on the judging panels, and then making sure that, well, for me, the challenge round was still something that I think we can still work on in the competition, because, like you rightfully said, you're talking about singers doing covers, but for dancers, you're not just challenging them to create original choreography, but in genres that they don't even know. So if I'm an opera singer, all I have to do is listen to a soca artist and try to copy somebody's like their sound and their tone and how they're singing and listening to their enunciation and stuff to be able to copy their work. But if you're asking a ballet dancer to go and do a dance hall dance 1 week, or in the same week they gotta do a dance hall dance and a country style dance, you're literally teaching them a style of vocabulary that they don't know and they don't understand.
In the same week, Sherry, that's crazy.
Yeah, you're not taking up, we're not able as dancers to be able to, it's not quite like singers where it's a little more structured and you could just do some, pay a license and be able to sing people's covers and be able to go through with that. We can't go and look at somebody's choreography online, find the best choreography and download it. So something that I think is something that for a dance comp, for a dance element of that, either we needed to help them with giving them choreography so that all they had to do is just learn different styles and then be able to replicate it, which would be kind of putting them a little more on par with the singing aspect. Or maybe then that element didn't relate to them. Or you find ready done choreographies in that style or a portfolio of choreographies that they could choose from, that all they had to do was learn the choreography, you know? And then it would be judging them based on their talent and being able to adapt to the style more so than them being challenged all around in terms of being able to make up choreography in a genre that they know nothing of. So it was definitely something where even as a mentor, I understood their challenges and it was important for me and another person that came on as a mentor to them, which was Olivia Hall, to really see how much we could help them, especially with choreography and style. I think their most challenging realm to me was contemporary, and they could correct me if I'm wrong on that, but definitely contemporary really took them out of their element. And
you're absolutely right.
When we were trying to choreograph that,
100%.
It was about trying to choreograph feeling and storytelling even more so than vocabulary, because it's impossible to try to teach dancers in 1 week contemporary style because it's very close to ballet. So there's a lot of technical aspects in it that a person who's not accustomed or technically trained in that genre are not going to be able to pick that up in a week. So it was then to then realize that it is more about emoting and storytelling and how well can you get your bodies to express that. So it was definitely about smart choreography after a while, as opposed to really being able to be your best creative during that time.
Well, that is challenging. And the last thing you just said that caught my attention is when you spoke about the dancers, if you're not trained in that setting, you can't learn contemporary in a week. You're not saying it'd be incredibly difficult, to you're saying can't. So it was a matter of smart choreography. That is quite interesting. So which meaning that these two young people, Shari, two younger people, I should say. that mean they had tasks that was almost impossible that they're certainly conquered in your professional opinion. You would say
definitely.
That
definitely. I think the dancers were the most challenged in this entire competition.
Yeah. Like for me, it's hard to admire things. Like, I like to think of a fairly smart fella. So I like to analyze everything. And then when I look at dance, right? No matter how naturally gifted you are, especially if you're doing it in a duo, right? It's hard to bluff it. Like, for me, I've known people, and I could say this on air, Ronnie, I've known people that can't sing that well, that it could have coursed through to make them win competitions, you get what I mean? To make them do good in competitions. In music, sometimes, Sherry, we have the privilege of language and of speech, right? And when we are singers, and then we have the privilege of dynamics, Ronnie. So if I'm telling Sherry, I love you, or you saying, Sherry, I really love you. You get me? That different. Shari, I love you. I really love you, Shari. So in music and singing, we could do that as well. I call her Beautiful Barbados. I call her Beautiful Barbados. And you do nothing special. I just sing some loud and then sing the rest soft and breathy. So just create that illusion. It's just a different technique and it's nothing difficult to learn either. In dance, no, you don't have that. So when I was analyzing, Shari was saying that it had to be really challenging to be a dancer in a competition, period, than a competition like this. So you mentioned that the contemporary is challenging, and both of them, right, Shari? Both of them scream out 1,000%. Yes, yeah, certainly. Like, for us, Damon, and then Asher. For you, Damon, why you find that it was so challenging?
Well, because with a contemporary, as Shari said, it's not something you can learn in a week. But luckily for Asha and I, we went to school at the Barbados Dance Theater like years ago. Mm-hmm. And we had the privilege of doing like modern classes and that kind of stuff. So in terms of actually performing technical choreographies, we do have some experience. But as with anything, if you don't practice it and use it all the time, you're going to get rusty. It's not going to look as good as back then. So we really had to use whatever little technical experience we had within that week to try to pull the piece together. And we really had to lean on Shari and on Olivia, because they have way more experience than us, and they really had to choreograph the piece smartly to suit the level that we were at the time. And it was still challenging because we still had to make it look believable, make it look like if it is contemporary, but then the real selling point was the emotion. So even if, you know, we don't look as good, at least with the emotion and we performing it well, you know, it will still be a good performance overall. So it was challenging, one, to learn back that style of dance, and then challenging, two, to also emote for that performance. And I know for myself in specific, this competition really learned that myself having to show emotion on stage and work on my face, that was something I really had to work on. And especially for the contemporary, like before the performance, Asha and I, we really had to put ourselves in like a real sad zone, as Shai would have mentioned. So, you know, let's try to find something that in your life that was really, you know, detrimental, something that would have made you very emotional. And we literally had to think about that on our brains, like a good like 30 minutes or 15 minutes before the performance, and then just try to keep that on the stage. And that was a new experience for me. And it was difficult. It was to the fact where I think I lay a bit more, I'd probably even shed a tear, because we really had to push and really sell that for that performance. So that's what we would most definitely say it was the most challenging, because that is so much on the right side of what me and Asha usually do. We usually do a lot of energy, a lot of fierce faces, lot of the hype, that kind of stuff. So for us to really like go to the opposite spectrum, that's again from hot to cold. You know,
I get it.
You really have to work hard. Yeah.
No, it's, listen to me, Barbados. And thanks for all the messages. No coming through, but the phone number is 434-1790. I know you want to shout out these young dancers, and salute to all dancers out there, man. If you know any dancer, especially from your communities, you know you all used to go to the dances and dance and glide across the ballroom floor suite too, and. If you know your dancers, you could salute them as well. 434-1790. But the morning just want to say that you and Asha and Shari getting some education today on the technical aspect, especially, and the difficult things that dancers in general go through to learn dance, period. But then when it comes to competition, how is even more difficult. When we come back, we can hear from Asha next and why it was difficult to her. Ronnie can give us a few messages, but I just want to say it quickly. Salute to winner again.
Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme family, we talking dance this evening, but the National Transformation Initiative and Coursera don't have any dance courses. But I nothing. There is still something there for you. You could try the beginner sign language course with Bonnie Leons. When you get comfortable with sign language, it's kind of like dancing with your hands. Signing is a great skill to have, and learning the basics of sign language with the NTI gets you started. Or you could take the NTI citizenship course. This is one of the most popular courses on the NTI platform. It won't help you with your dancing, Sluggy, but it helps you to become a firm craftsman of our faith and get in step with the rhythm of the nation. Or you could try the NTI Core Skills course and learn the skills and knowledge that help you to move through the world with graceful, confident poise and swag like a real star pigeon. Try one of these short, free, fun and fundamental courses at training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb. Because you're never too good to get better.
This week we feature a set of courses which will help you build your online brand and market yourself, your talents, and or your business effectively. These courses are only a snapshot of the courses we offer in our Creative Academy, which includes courses on advertising, branding, creative tech, design, fashion, music, photography, writing, and more. You have free access to any course at www.training.nti.org.bb. Social media advertising. Social media platforms are driven by digital advertising. As a result, social media advertising is affordable and can be purchased at almost any budget, from basic campaigns to advanced techniques, including lookalike modeling and audience retargeting. This course teaches you how to effectively advertise on three major social media platforms: Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Beginner level. Offered by the University of Colorado Boulder, approximately 11 hours to complete. The review, top review, my favorite course so far, just amazing content with tutorials, examples, and extra readings, just perfect. International entertainment and sports marketing, gain a fundamental understanding of the characteristics and marketing strategies related to two key global industries, sports and entertainment. Through this course, you'll learn cross-country and cross-industry growth strategies needed to be innovative in these fields. At beginner level, offered by Yonsei University, approximately 11 hours to complete. Top review, this course collects a sum of practical marketing information explained with lots of easy-to-understand examples. And the case studies, interviews with experts were a lovely addition to the whole mix. And course number three, brand identity and strategy. You will go through a journey that starts with understanding what a brand is and how they can build successful ones, whilst simultaneously segmenting their consumers appropriately. The course explores positioning and its importance to successful brands, looking at perceptual maps and the well-known iceberg model. Intermediate level, offered by the IE Business School, approximately 14 hours to complete. Top review says it was informational. The professor taught the course really well with great examples. I found this course very interesting and creative. It definitely helped me to understand branding in depth. Remember, www.training.nti.org.bb.
Yes, yes, and big up the NTI, you know, kudos to the NTI. That's a wonderful, wonderful initiative, and you know, all the courses are absolutely free in the data or Wi-Fi need.
And for all ages to take advantage of. There's a perception that this is being done for young people to take advantage of, but yeah, every Barbadian has access to this. There's no limit.
Yeah, that's a fact. And matter of fact, it suits us old people a lot. You know what I mean? Because it's not really time consuming. Some of the courses they run, say 11 hours to complete. So you could literally do like 20 minutes a day if you feel like half hour a day out of the whole 24 hours, you know, each day. And in no time you will complete the course. And it's not anything that to fail either. You know, you take your time, and as you complete one step, you go on to the next step. So it's not a pass or fail system at all. So it's a courseware. It's not time consuming, and you absolutely learn and in everything. So if you're old like us and you don't know the IG and you don't know Gmail and so on, as proficient as you should, there's courses for that as well. So to go out, salute the NTI and the government. The courses are absolutely free. There's no excuse, no data or Wi-Fi charges, and it's not time consuming, so get with it. training.nti.org.bb. Wonderful initiative. So I'm all about that. Like Ronnie said, all ages.
Sluggy, when I'm speaking about the 80s in Barbados, yes. I did not mention Weebop 2.
No, you didn't.
Weebop 2, one of the biggest outfits in the breakdance era, and I guess funk before that as well.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Breakwave as well. And I tell you, Sluggy, like
names,
every village had a breakdancer. John King was a breakdancer. Right? Wow. So that was the phase at the time. And the big movies, of course, Breakin' and Beat Street.
Mm-hmm.
and Wild Style, and then you had all the upcoming rappers, etc.
So you're saying every community had at least
a breakdancer. And collectively they would get together to form a crew. Some villages actually had a crew or even two. But remember, school fairs were big at that time.
Yeah.
And at the school fairs, that's where you'd see the dancers face off.
Mm-hmm. And it was the 80s.
Yeah, and when you had a school concert, the hottest dancers were usually invited to the school concert.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have one in the school that could represent, but often the hottest crew at the time, or a part of that crew, because mm-hmm. they were in demand,
yeah.
would come to the school. And so the dancers, in many instances, were the star attractions before the chanters and the rappers and the DJs.
Nice boy.
So Roebuck School Fair is acknowledged for the most part in Barbados as being the number one school fair. I know Lodge School may have something to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
At Queen's College.
Yeah.
At Combermere to some point. St. Michael's had a big fair as well. And what happened is that every week you would have a different school fair. So the youngsters of the time would go from school fair to school fair. So when it was your fair, you were the home crew from the school.
Mm.
But, you know, you'd be traveling at some point to go to another one. And that helped build camaraderie as well.
Used to be challenges
and
or just dancing?
They used to challenge each other. As they call it, they used to burn each other. You would get burned. You would try and burn each other.
Yeah.
And street fairs as well were popular at the time. But, you know, those things phased out. And it's hard to think that you'd be holding street fairs in these times.
But you remember you called a name to me that was in Reebok that I couldn't believe.
Well, Eric Lewis was part of the crew.
That what you mean? That you couldn't believe that?
And they had a rap group called the Human Beatbox. Right? So, and Eric used to rap.
Eric Lewis.
But Sean Miller was part of the crew too.
Whoa.
He's the ace photography guy. I can't remember the name of the business right now.
Whoa.
So that's a lot of talent. And of course, they were linked with Mad as well. Not that they were part of Mad, but those were peers at the time. So there's a big history in Barbados. Big shout out to Wayne Connell, all my people up there in Spikestown as well. So, you know,
Barbados have a rich history when it comes to, especially when it comes to street dance as well.
That's what I'm saying, because the Barbados Dance Theatre was mentioned, and of course Dance Nationale, Afrique, etc. So I want to tell all of the people that are in dance,
yes,
who may feel that, you know, the average Bajan doesn't pay attention to what they're doing. That's not true.
No.
May not be at many of the recitals or as many recitals as, you know, pure fans of dance are or family members, but we appreciate the work.
For sure.
Because right now there's a different type of street dance going on.
Yeah.
You know, and you got people like Casper and so on that do different things.
Yeah.
And then Ding Dong Ravers is one of the big outfits from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Basically touring.
Yeah.
A bit of chanting, but people really want to see what they're doing dance wise. So when you hear Bogle and all them kind of things from all the years and Mr. Wacky and stuff, we digest that because we digest dancehall music.
Yeah.
Right? And then of course you look at the level of choreography that Michelle's show obtains. Yeah.
Mm.
And then in Soca Monarch and here locally as well. You mentioned Edwin way back in 94, 95. So it would be interesting to hear from those who are at the center of it, right? And the leading lights in dance, a history of dance.
No, like for real. And the purpose why you bring these young people to show the talk, because they brought back their memories. I remember My old man telling me about dancing, Ronnie. My old man said that Barbados used to love dancing so much that roller skating he felt was big because of how much we love dancing. And like, I didn't get to see roller skating and so on things, but my father used to got skating rings in Barbados, man, in 70s, early 80s, man, used to go about skating and and disco music playing.
That's right.
And everybody on the dance floor dancing. You can imagine that.
But funk had its own style of dance too, you know.
Yeah.
Disco was the nice, clean, 4-4 commercial stuff.
Yeah.
Which really came out of funk. But it was consumed by a certain type of audience, right?
Okay.
But when you're talking funk and you're talking Barquets and Cameo and Funkadelic and Parliament and the Brothers Johnson, that's a different type of dancing. Watch Soul Train, the old editions of Soul Train, when they used to do the line. Those dancers were stars too, as popular as Kool and the Gang,
you're
before
right.
they did Fresh, when they're doing Hollywood Swingin' and them kind of songs there. There was a certain look. Even your hat looked a certain way. And your appearance also enhances the impact of your dance.
Listen, next I'm just going to see it, right? And the morning, Asha, bringing on Asha right now, because we want Asha to tell us why that part that
costuming
that
is Shari, important.
Yeah, that Shari spoke about, why that part was so difficult. Before you bring it on, we're just going to see that and your all outfits throughout is what also helped captivate me. And that's something I realized, Shari, like when it comes to dancer, the dancer and their outfits is another story that I pay close attention to. You know, sometimes you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know why it's captivating you, but the way dancers dress is something that always captivated me from a child. But before we touch on that, Shari, I want to hear from Asha why that part was difficult for you as well, the contemporary challenge.
Okay. Well, I would say for me, much like what Damon said, we did grow up in the Barbados Dance Theater. I've been dancing from the time I was 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little bit more contemporary training than Damon. But even though I had contemporary training, it was never really my thing. I find that, you know, especially for a female dancer in Barbados, you know, we often have to do classical dance. So we have to do the contemporaries, the jazz, the ballet and stuff. I found it was never really my thing. So I know for a long time I just kind of did it. And when I left dance theater, I don't think I ever really looked back on it like that. So like to put myself back into that style of dance after like basically doing the very opposite style of dance, like the kind of dance that we do is like more street dance, so it's like a lot of flex feet, a lot of bending, a lot of bend back, a lot of bent knees, versus contemporary is kind of has some of those elements, but it's more so like grounded in classical training, as Shari said. So that was really difficult to try to get back into that. And then as was mentioned before, we had to do two dances within that week. So it's not like if we had the full week to focus on contemporary. While we were focusing on contemporary, I believe the other challenge was Back in Time, which in itself was a whole other thing because we weren't born then. So, you know, we'd never danced those kinds of dances before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very difficult to try to remember, okay, well, I can't bend my knees. I have to straighten my legs. I have to point my toes here. It was very, very difficult to get back into that style of dancing after not doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the only choreography that we did not even touch any of the choreography. Like we were like, you know, Shari and Olivia, y'all got this. We'll just learn it. Because I don't think that we would have been able to do it justice, I would say. I think we would get it done. But I don't know that we will be able to like do it justice because that's not really our thing. That's not
or had the time or had right. or had right. the time to
figure right. We wouldn't have had the time to figure out how to really execute that the way how we did. And I feel like we would spend because they choreographed that in a pretty short space of time. I think it was like two days or so.
Yeah.
Two days. I think we probably would have taken the whole week trying to figure out how to choreograph that. So, you know, that one, even though that one was more difficult, I was happy that we didn't really have to focus on the choreography, because then that would have made it even harder for us to try to figure out the choreography and try to like reprogram our brains to do that kind of dancing again.
Oh, brilliant, man. Brilliant. That's interesting. So in your mind, Asha, what would you say was the most before, you got 5 minutes, three. In your mind, Asha, and I'm asking this to everyone, to Shari and Damon as well, and just letting Barbados know that we absolutely must have them again. There's so much about dance we need to speak to. And of course, there's so many stalwarts running our dance that we must highlight, man. We must find some time to salute and highlight. And like you said, hear some of these history stories. We can do that for sure. In your mind, Asha, and I just want to thank you all for inspiring that for sure. So you just remember Damon, Asha and Shari who inspired that, because we can take a deeper look at dance, culture in Barbados and history. But in your mind, Shari, what was the most rewarding thing about entering this competition? Because it had to be a extremely great learning process. So what was the most rewarding thing to you?
I think the most rewarding thing is definitely encouraging two very talented individuals to continue to push in a competition where I think it was very easy to see that the odds were somewhat stacked against them.
Mm-hmm.
But try to do my best to be able to understand where the producers come from, trying to find that balance, and then seeing them go all the way to the finals. I know they're not going to want me to touch it, but even seeing that very last dance that they did, and when Murphy was out, every single thing that could be against them was against them.
Yes.
And Olivia and I sat there in complete amazement, because what Asha was able to do on that stage, me with my 25 plus years in dance would probably have not been able to push through in that way. And even that for me was just showing the power and the strength that those two individuals had and how they represented, because they're even singers where brilliant. They would have had a costume malfunction that would not have disrupted their performance,
yes.
but it would have offset them enough that they would have probably stopped singing and want to go off the stage.
Let it wrap up. Yes. No, yeah. Not you. Sorry.
So,
go ahead.
No problem. So that in itself was just absolutely rewarding, to just see them represent dance and do so much justice to dance. And then even as an individual, being able to work them
mm-hmm.
and hopefully make a difference to the Beijing World competition going forward and other similar competitions, and hopefully encourage other brilliant. Dancers to be able to have any future.
That is brilliant, Shari, and everyone respect you. Demona, Asha, just want to say a goodbye to you, and we have to bring you back for sure. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I want to wish you two young people all the best. I'm not saying goodbye, because Barbados will be hearing some more from you for sure, but it's an absolute pleasure to speak to two brilliant young minds and my good friend, Shari Pollard.
Correct.
Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, VOB 92.9. Salute all dancers out there. Ronnie, and, over to you, Ronnie.
And remember the presentation to this one in 1995. Young champion from the region brings Tara down the track. Push it over, push it, push it over, push it. All the VMP came from you, only see the back. Push it over, push it, push it over, push it.
Video game is not just flashy graphics. The best video games have great storylines. If you are interested in video game design, your storytelling skills have to be sharp too. The National Transformation Initiative and Coursera have the course for you. The course called Story and Narrative Development for Video Games shows you how storytelling drives gameplay. Through studying new video games and games from the past, you will learn how character setting and story structure come together to make your game concept greater. Sign up for Story and Narrative Development for Video Games at training.nti.org.bb for the fully online, fully free course from the NTI and Coursera. training.nti.org.bb. Because you're never too good to get better.